Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Wrestling Tonight. This is Dr. John Stamey talking to you live from a beautiful, warm Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. Hope everybody's doing well. We are locked and loaded with some great personalities and great wrestling fans here, and we're going to have a blast tonight for the next hour, hour and a half. So I can tell you, get ready, sit back, relax, and enjoy it. This is going to be a great episode of Wrestling Tonight. First of all, I want to introduce some of our call-in panelists that we really depend on, and we're so glad when they show up. First of all, from Richmond, Virginia, the old professor of wrestling himself, Steve Logan. How you doing tonight, Steve?
I'm doing good. Just be listening in tonight.
That's great. Well, we're glad to have you here with us. And from Charleston, South Carolina, formerly Pocatello, Idaho, formerly Las Vegas, formerly California, the one and only superfan, Malcolm Wildman. What's up tonight, Malcolm?
The Raiders won their fifth game.
Listen, buddy, we just need to get us a team in Charleston. That's what we need. But thanks for being here. We're always glad to have you. And I know that you've got one of your buddies with you tonight, Mr. Channel 2 News. Are you here with us?
Yes, sir, I am.
All right, Adam is here. He's a great guy, and he works with Battleground Championship Wrestling down there in Charleston. A great promotion down there and been around for a long time. What a cool bunch of people they are, I'm telling you. It's great. It's great to have you there. And we've got a special call-in guest. He's got some cool things going on. Vinny Berry is here from Texas. Where are you from in Texas, Vinny?
I live in Far Texas, about 10 miles from the Mexico border.
All right. Is it still warm down there? I bet it is.
Yeah, we had a nice, you know, we had like a spring day today. So it was, my wife said it was 89 degrees, but it was real nice earlier on. So it was good. Beautiful weather.
You call that spring? I call that middle of the summer up here in Myrtle Beach. But that's okay. We're glad to have you here. And one reason we got you here, other than to talk to some of these great guests we have, you're working on a project that people might be interested in. Tell us just a minute about it, okay?
Yeah, I'm releasing a book next week. It's called Lance by Chance, Wrestling as a Von Erich. It is a book on world-class championship wrestling between 1982 and 1987. I've been working on it for the last 3 years with Lance himself, and I think fans are really going to be excited about the book and really what it covers. I think a lot of people may think it's about Lance Von Erich, and it is to some extent, but it is also about a lot of the wrestlers from that time and a lot of things that happened. There was a lot of tragedy that happened in that period, and it covers it all.
Hey, what did you think about the Dark Side? What did you think about the Dark Side of the Ring episode on the Von Erich family?
Are you? Who are you asking?
Yeah, that's Professor Wrestling asking you a question, Vinny.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I thought he was asking you. You know, I like the story, you know, I lived in North Texas when a lot of that was going on, so it was almost like a repeat, you know, because I lived through it, you know, seeing the tragedies of the Von Erichs, you know, and knowing when they were looking for Mike out at the lake and didn't know where he was for a week and then found his body out there in the sleeping bag. And yeah, so, you know, the helicopters flew right over my house when they, when the news found out that Kerry shot himself up at his dad's ranch, you know. So, yeah, it was, you know, just kind of like reliving it.
All right.
Well, it's interesting.
We'll
I'm going to
that.
Look into that book later.
Yeah, we'll be hearing about that later tonight. Right now, I'm going to turn the floor over to our moderator for our guest tonight, the one, the only Chaz Moretti, manager extraordinaire.
Hey, how you doing, Dr. John? How's everybody tonight?
I'm doing great.
Everybody's good.
That's great. Yeah, that's great.
It looks like Tony Capone will probably be with us shortly. And so you head on
very
to our guest.
Awesome. All right. Well, tonight, gentlemen, I would like to introduce you to two talents that are currently under contract with the North American Wrestling Alliance. I am speaking about none other than Panther Rodriguez and one half of the Slambinos, AJ Genazzo. The way I want to work the format tonight, Panther, I want to talk to you briefly for the sake of our listeners and for the sake of those of us joining for the first time. I want to get into a little bit of the history of Panther Rodriguez. How'd you get started? Who trained you? That sort of thing. So without further ado, let's introduce from Nashville, Tennessee, the one and only Panther Rodriguez. How are you tonight, sir?
All right. I got to correct today. I'm originally from the Bronx, New York, South Bronx.
So was I.
But as far, a little geographical mishap, no biggie.
All right.
But otherwise, Chaz, I got started long, long time ago in the Bronx. What happened was a friend of mine in junior high school, his dad had a wrestling gym. And I thought he was just ribbing me about it because, you know, I was always a big fan going to MSG every Monday night, so on and so forth, and at that time anyway. And I ran into a dude, Bold Eagle. Well, Bobby Bold Eagle, for some reason, I guess, took a liking to me, put me under his wing. And at that time, you know, he really wasn't, like, training me the way he would have wanted to because, you know, you don't take a 12-year-old and make him do all kinds of crazy stuff, so... After a while, I was doing a lot of outlaw shows in Brooklyn, training guys like Black Gordman, Frank Williams, who else, and a couple of other indie dudes, and Mr. Haiti and S.T. Jones and whatnot. And out of nowhere, he opened up his own school, winds up calling me again and tells me, hey, listen, I need you to come by. And then I was the first student at the Bobby Bold Eagle Wrestling Academy, and I was about 15 at the time, I believe. And he trained me in everything. I mean, everything from strong style, lucha, everything. He even gave me tapes like homework, you know. And I went on from there. And at that time, he was sharing the gym space with Johnny Rods. God bless Johnny, because Johnny's a great guy. And I went on from there.
Well, that's awesome. So, I mean, getting back from going to the Bronx and moving on, what were your recollections of being a rookie? I mean, hitting the locker room for the first time, you're in training for a certain period of time. Now you're in the locker room. It's got to be a flood of emotions. You want to talk about that a bit?
Oh, yes, absolutely. Well, the first real experience, I'm not counting any outlaw shows. I was working for a guy named Tito Torres, old school wrestler from back in Worldwide Wrestling Federation days. And I was super nervous. You know, you had a bunch of guys there. And the first thing I learned, first thing my trainer told me, just stay quiet, keep your ears open, your mouth shut. And if somebody walks by, as far as veterans, I learned that at an early age, which oddly enough, not very many people do that nowadays. But it was just nerve-wracking, you know, learning the ropes. And I was greener than olives back then as far as in locker room etiquette and, you know, how to conduct myself and how to not only treat this as a business but treat it as your life, you know, your bread and butter and things of that nature. And it was rough, dude. It was not easy. This day I'm...
No, I could imagine. I could imagine. So let's talk about your travels for a second. I mean,
sure.
You've been well traveled, you've been well versed. I mean, I've seen that you've worked Florida, you've worked Tennessee. You know, what are some of the other places other than New York, Florida, and Tennessee that you've worked during your career?
All right. Awesome. Awesome deal. Let's see, I worked Mid-Atlantic Championship Wrestling. I did a couple of shows with them in North Carolina under David Isley. I did some enhancement work with the WWF at the time in 92, NWA Eastern Championship Wrestling, which you guys know who run that.
Sure.
Did a couple of deals with them. Yeah, yeah. Of course, I worked for Tony Capone.
Very nice. Let's talk about that. Let's talk about your first time working with and meeting Tony Capone. What was that experience like?
Well, I knew Tony since
Sorry, you're breaking up there for a second.
Oh, I'm sorry. Tony was,
okay.
I mean, he still is. I mean, he was a big dude to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I was looking at him like, dang. At that time, that's when he had the Godfather deal going. I'm like, whoa. He actually had me believing he really was one. oh, of course, working for Tony.
Wait. He is. You didn't know?
I know now.
All right.
But I love Tony to death.
Sorry,
he came more like a big brother to me. Yeah, he came more of a big brother to me. Of course, he put me on a show, Slam Jam 99. And here I am in a locker room with guys like Sid Vicious, Bundy, Bushwhackers, Alofa, Samu, Afa, Public Enemy, God bless their souls, and the Pit Bulls, Jim Cornette, and he had amazing time, and Bruno, can't forget Bruno. And
of course.
It was just amazing. Tony was probably one of the nicest, easiest guys to ever work for. I kid you not. And I'm not saying that because he's going to hear this. I'm saying that because it's true. You know what I mean? I mean, he really is.
No, I hear you.
He was so easy to work for. So easy.
I hear you. So let's segue a little bit. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
Oh, my bad. No. I was just saying that the great thing I loved about him, that he let you have creative control on what you're doing there as long as you respect his wishes in terms of what he would want. You know what I mean? And
sure.
He's one of the good ones. I got to give him credit where credit is due. Normally, I wouldn't do that,
Let's segue a little bit. Since you were part and parcel of the original NAWA, and now the NAWA is back and back with a vengeance, and what are your thoughts on the reemergence of the NAWA?
Well, one, my thoughts is I'm excited, considering, and I want to be able to not only leave a smile and an impression and have a memory in the fans' mind, but I also want them to come back and be like, I want to see that guy again, you know, and Tony giving me the platform with the North American Wrestling Alliance, as well as the whole locker room, because the lineup he's got, trust me, they're going to come back. He's got a lineup that not normal regular company, because I can't call him an indie company. It doesn't even sound right. But,
no, absolutely not.
It does not even sound right. The lineup he's got nothing but major talent, second, third generation wrestlers. I mean, it's phenomenal. I think the NAWA is going to be a force to be reckoned with big time.
Oh, most definitely. Most definitely. I'm looking so forward to Jingle Brawl on December 19th. And it's going to be the event of 2020. Panther, if you don't mind, I'd like to open things up to our panel for a couple of seconds and have you field some questions from them, if you don't mind. Sure. Dr. John, would you like to ask any questions of Panther Rodriguez?
Yes, I would. First of all, thanks for being on here. Been looking forward to having you. What would you say?
Thank
so
you.
Has been.
Pardon?
What is your biggest match ever been? The one that affected you the most and really helped propel you to where you are now? And who was the promoter?
All right. I got a couple, if you don't mind me saying so. But
your time to talk.
Oh, my man, appreciate you, brother. The first one, I must honestly say, I mean, I've had a couple on the indie circuit with my trainer wrestling against him, but if I had to put any one individual in that spotlight, it would have to be God Bless His Soul, and I hope you guys give him a big old rest in peace, to James Sugar Bear Harris, Kamala. Kamala, I wrestled him. Tony Garea booked me against him. I guess he must have been the booking agent that night. I was in a little 3-day deal with the WWF in 92, and when that aired on TV, I couldn't even come outside for weeks. I had to climb down my fire escape just to get out the door. And a lot of the little small promoters saw that, and they was like, wow. I mean, to me, it was just, you know, another gig, but for them, it was like, okay, well, he did that, so on and so forth, and that actually helped me get more bookings and And of course, it became like a, what would you say, like a snowball effect, if you will. You know what I mean? It kept getting bigger and bigger. And then, of course, you know, certain things, of course, prevented me from getting more ahead on a domestic level, but that's another story. But other than that, yeah, man, I mean, it was Kamala. Then I had a match with Taz and Shane Douglas and Mr. Hughes, two separate matches, of course, for NWA Eastern. That helped me out a lot. Then I was wrestling for a guy. I don't know if you guys ever watched the old WWWF back in the 70s. There was a guy
wrestling
named Pete Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That's when they had the low boy rings. There was a guy in the air by the name of Pete McKay. Handsome Pete McKay or something out of another. Or Pistol Pete McKay. I can't remember his moniker. But he had a gym and a wrestling company down in Manhattan where he had, believe it or not, Matt Bourne and a whole bunch of Tom Brandy and guys going through there and whatnot. And oddly enough, Bubba Ray Dudley's first match was in this place. And it was just that guy right there helped propel me even further, only for the simple fact that he showed me how to book matches and how to put together matches and things of that nature. You know, like the business end of the deal in terms of inside stuff that people don't normally see. So, and another guy I would have to say, and I got to give him credit too as well, was my trainer. And the only reason why I say that, though, because, you know, he was donning the moniker of the Black Tiger because him and Mark Rollerball Rocco, they were like great friends and stuff. And he would literally fill in dates for him when Rocco couldn't wrestle at the Black Tiger. So Bobby Bold Eagle at the time, of course, would don the mask and do it for the time being. Well, there's one time I got to wrestle him as the Black Panther at the time I had a mask. Going against the Black Tiger, not so much as the name, but the man himself, because not too many people know this, but my trainer was trained by Antonino Rocca, or Argentino,
wow,
whichever he refers to. Yeah, he was trained by him in the late 60s, wrestled for Vince McMahon Sr. overseas as well as inland, and for, I don't know if you ever heard of a promoter, and back in the old NWA days, Bob Geigel.
Yes, sir.
I don't know if you guys ever heard of him. He wrestled
yes,
for
sir.
Him. Yeah, he wrestled him, and he also wrestled guys like Nelson Royal and Les Thornton, which not too many people know about Les Thornton, but, you know, guys like that. So I would have to say those guys really helped me out to where and made me where I am today. Now, just the tip of the iceberg, I would have to give credit also to Jason Knight. For one, booking me with ECW those little times. Those few times, and for booking me in his company, which also helped me get ahead as well.
Awesome. Awesome stuff. Malcolm, you have any questions you want to ask Panther?
Yeah, Panther, you mentioned the Black Tiger. I was watching Coliseum video a long time ago. I think it was Gorilla Monsoon. He was talking about the Black Tiger, and he was taking on another wrestler, I forget who it was. I think it was some dragon
the
guy.
Cobra.
The
Cobra.
Cobra. Yeah, thank you. It's been so long. I mean, they don't have Coliseum video anymore, but I have been a fan of wrestling. I was 5 years old in 1968, and me and my sister were watching the Adam Sandler and the Monsters on Channel 44, and Big Time Wrestling came on. And I loved
Ooh, that's
Pat
old school.
Johnson since I was five. My dad wouldn't take me to a live match. So in 83, I was at Fort Bliss in the Army, and they had a live NWA card, and we went to see some of the greatest wrestlers in the NWA. First time in my life I've ever been to a live wrestling match. I was so excited, and I have been a fan of wrestling. You know, it's just going to build inside of me. And the one thing that I did, I had a high-pitched voice when I joined the Army. Almost all my life. And in 93, I went to Fort Benning. And I accidentally learned how to do Hulk Hogan and the Macho Man. And if you want me to do Randy, he's quiet. If you want me to do Hogan, I got thrown out of the Sun Valley Mall for doing it for Santa Claus.
Watch your volume, Mel.
Ooh. You want to hear somebody?
Do I want to hear someone, you said?
Yeah, do you want to hear Randy or Hogan or Steve Austin or anybody like that?
Yeah, Malcolm's a resident impressionist.
I mean, it's your choice. You want to hear somebody that's not, okay.
You could do Hulk Hogan if you like. I mean,
oh,
Macho Man, I've heard impressions of Macho Man and Stone Cold a lot. But Hogan, I never really hear too many people do him.
You've all been warned. Watch the decibels.
Okay. Yeah. I gotta go to the bathroom, or the back room, rather, because I don't want to wake anybody up.
When you're around the Panther at the new NAWA pay-per-view in Daytona Beach, Florida, what you gonna do when he rebels, destroys, and goes flying on you, brother?
Okay.
Wow. Hey. Boy, that gave me goosebumps. All right, that's pretty good. Pretty good, man. Pretty good.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Speaking of live events, my first live event was July 23rd, 1984, and I believe the guy headlining the card was Hulk Hogan versus Greg the Hammer Valentine. I'll never forget that.
I was in Korea when you saw that.
I remember those days.
But the madness in the Panther is all around you in the NAWA December 19th in Daytona Beach, Florida. Yeah.
Oh, man.
There
the
you go, Pip. You got them both tonight, bro.
Damn. Lucky me.
You got them both tonight.
Yeah.
Steve Orban, you have a couple of questions for Panther. Go ahead.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you a couple of questions. You work under a mask a lot. I thought it was pretty cool that you mentioned Black Tiger earlier. I like to watch a Tiger Mask 2 Misawa recently. But, did you work under a mask often, and did you work with a lot of international talent?
Okay. Yes, I started out wrestling under a mask back in the late 80s all the way on through the, I guess, I would say mid-90s or so. Mid to late 90s. Did I work any international? Hello?
We hear you.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I didn't know you were there. All right. But yeah. As far as international talent goes, I've worked with guys as far as, you know, that are well traveled, making like hundreds of pounds, if you know the old saying. The one I could say that I wrestled, would have to be, at the time, he was known as Mike Fury. But he was pretty well traveled, and he did a lot of stuff in Europe at the time. And I was in a battle royal with him. My trainer, Bobby Bold Eagle, he's definitely international, that's for sure. I wrestled him on many occasions. Tiger Khan, God bless his soul. He was sort of international. He worked a lot for Calgary as well, for Stu Hart, at the end of the Calgary run deal. And not too many towns. I grew up on a lot of international talents that I've actually seen come up, guys like Homicide, Quiet Storm, and Amazing Red, and the SATs and stuff like that. But I would love to wrestle in the talent. Oh, I would love it. And for the record, my favorite Tiger mask is Satoru Sayama.
Right, the original, yeah.
Absolutely.
He's amazing. Amazing. And for as big as he is to move the way he does, yeah, he's phenomenal.
And his matches with the Dynamite, legendary.
Oh, my goodness. Him and Dynamite. You know, it kind of brought me to tears when they did that tribute thing. I don't know if you've seen that. It was a video on it.
I did
where
see
Dynamite
that.
Hit.
Yeah.
It was a tribute, but not that tribute. It was a different one where Satoru Sayama, he called it, and he spoke with Dynamite Kid on the phone. Now, Dynamite Kid was, like, pretty much he looked like he was worn out. He was under some medication or whatever. Yes, and it broke my heart, though, because Tommy Billington, my trainer, trained with him, and Davey Boy Smith, when Davey Boy was like 150 pounds. And it broke my heart, though, because I thought, to me, Dynamite was like the end-all, be-all. I mean, the dude was phenomenal. And for the original Tiger Mask, to take time out of his schedule, you know what, let me call this man, because he helped make my career big as it is as well, because they both put to the heights that they were brought to. And that broke my arm. I just can't get over it. I think it's now, and it kills me, though, because Dynamite's no longer here with us. But that was just crazy. But Tiger Mask, Satoru Sayama, and Misawa would have to be the two that stand out to me the most. But
I was glad I was glad you mentioned Black Tiger earlier, because like that was a big loss too, losing Mark Rocco.
Yes, and here's the thing about Black Tiger now. Officially or unofficially, the second Black Tiger was my trainer. But he wasn't like under contract under the name, because what happened was, you know, there was a lot of dates that Mark Rollerball Rocco couldn't fill. You know what I mean? And being that my trainer wrestles in England for crappy promotions and wrestling with all these big names and so on out in England, Rocco couldn't really do much. He was under contract and stuff. So, of course, certain times, of course, my trainer filled in, but he never was officially the Black Tiger. He just filled it because his style and Rocco's style was very, very similar. They kind of mirrored each other in a way. As a matter of fact, there's a match on YouTube. It's under Bobby Gold Eagle's videos, or Chief White, rather, because he's also known as that, too. Where he wrestled, it shows a clip of him wrestling Mark Rollerball Rocco. And if you see that, it's almost like a mirror wrestling each other. It's just, it blew my mind. But I just had to hear that
I'm glad I got that info, because I always thought it was just Eddie Guerrero that was number two.
No, officially, you're right. Officially, on paper, Eddie Guerrero is the second Tiger. There is no question about it. That's why I said unofficially it was my trainer. But, of course, he was just filling in dates. He wasn't wrestling as Black Tiger because he had the Indian gimmick, wrestling as Bobby Whitefeather or Chief Bobby Bold Eagle. And I would say there's two different Bold Eagles, because you had the Bob Boyer version, then you had my trainer. And I'm going to say this, you know, you trained by Argentina Rocca or Antonio Rocca, whichever you want to refer to him as. That, to me, is about as original as it gets.
Oh, yeah, that's why Rocca, that's where Inoki got his name from, is Antonio Rocca.
Yep, absolutely.
Yep, that's right.
Now, Panther, we got somebody special that's going to join us right now. Dr. John, you want to make the introduction and tell everybody about who's waiting in the wings, Ilias, the godfather of professional wrestling?
Godfather, are you here with us tonight?
Oh, yes, I am. I've been waiting, and I'm sorry I'm late tonight, but as you know, I'm in North Carolina right now, making it happen with the NAWA, and,
Tony.
You know, I just, Malcolm, happy birthday, my man, and we spoke
Thank
yesterday.
You.
How was your birthday? How was your birthday?
That was great.
You know, but I wanted to reach out for a second, you know, not to give a plug for the company, but this is really about Panther, and, you know, Bobby Bolding was my original trainer also, and, I think you were maybe 14 when you first started down there. How old were you back then?
Believe it or not, I was I was about to hit 15 years old, about more or less between 14, 15 when I started at the academy.
Yeah, there's a lot of memories. There's a lot of memories and a lot of respect there for Panther and Bobby Bold Eagle and that class that we came out of, because we both came out of that same class at that time, you know, back in the 80s, you know, and, you know, guys like you just mentioned, Tiger Khan and, you know, Marlon, you know, God rest his soul, has a special place in my heart. I mean, he was a phenomenal wrestler and, you know, say that he was taken from us at a very young age. But, you know, Panther's one of those not undeveloped, but unknown talent that's been out there in the U.S. circuit, you know, and with the, you know, NAWA behind him, you know, we reconnected. We're going to bring him back to the forefront and truly deserved, because he is a phenomenal wrestler. And back in 99, he was part of the Slam Jam, our iconic show, you know, and still at a very young age back then, you know. So he's been around. He's been around the block quite a few years. And I don't know any other independent wrestler in the circuit that has the history that goes back to, like, literally, you know, being a teenager, you know, really enhancing his career and has gone to, like, the forefront. And with the end of the way, you know, Panther, I'm, you know, honored and proud to say that you're part of a company, you know, and I'm glad that we were able to bring you down to the forefront and just keep, you know, doing what you're doing. And, you know, it's going to be an incredible match. And we do have great storylines worked out for you, you know. So officially welcome to the family, you know. And I can't wait for you to showcase down in Daytona and show everyone what you got, my man. A lot of respect. A lot of respect. We go back many years.
Thank you so much, dude. Yeah. Wow, that was very nice of you to say, Paizan. That's awesome. Thank you so much.
It's sincere, you know, and Bobby Lowe Wilson, you know, my original trainer. I mean, Esty Jones, took me down, and, it was literally a block away from Front Street from where Johnny Rods was, and, that little warehouse that we went into, each and every day and each and every night. And
it was a parking garage at first. I remember that.
Exactly. You talk about starting up in the streets, it was literally the streets of Brooklyn, we go way back, and, the whole class, iconic guys that were back in that day, and, some of them made it to the forefront, and, Bobby always pushed us to do our best, I learned a different style from Bobby because of the fact that, he was a high flyer, like such a technical wrestler, and here I was, as you remember back in the days, 350,
and he was also a shooter.
Yeah, exactly. I didn't even get to that yet. But he was a shooter and, taught us the inside. If this happens, this is what you do. You speak with actions more than words, And, I'm really, once again, Panther, I'm honored to say that you're my friend and you've been my friend for years. And we're just going to continue this and, let's show the people down in Daytona what we got. And, I'm in North Carolina now setting up things and, I've been in Raleigh-Durham, and I've been in Charlotte the last week, and I'll be heading back to New York hopefully tomorrow, Tuesday. But sorry I was late tonight. I just had a big business meeting with quite a few different people that have been working out the NAWA down south, and I'm glad and honored to say that we're going to be heading down to North Carolina and that whole area, and can't wait. I really can't wait. And once again, thank you, Panther. I appreciate your work and your ethics in this business.
Oh, man, thank you. I should be thanking you. Thank you so much.
No, just let me tell you something. Even back in 99 when you were on Slam Jam and everything else, you shine. You always, it was always from the heart, and you don't find that many people or that many wrestlers that have that kind of passion nowadays. It's totally changed, the whole 50-50 and everybody else. And, back in the days, we worked, we put it all together, if they could take one-tenth of what we learned back then and bring it to the forefront now, I think a lot of guys out there would be, better athletes, better wrestlers, and just
also, Tony.
Yes,
Tony, don't forget also the respect. A lot of guys don't have the respect we did back then. When veterans came in, what did we do? Get up and off our chairs.
That is correct.
And
that
you
is,
gave
yeah,
the veterans, yes.
Yep.
Yes, yes. And a lot of people don't realize when you walk into a building, you don't go to the boys first. You go to the promoter, booker, then the boys. Everybody
exactly.
else is over here chit-chatting with the boys and everybody else without realizing, wait a second, they're not the ones that's hiring you. You know what I mean? So it's the respect. The respect, a lot of it has been lost over the years.
And you're so true. Right. That's one of my, one of my philosophies. I always treat people with respect because that's what I was brought up on, first in my personal life and my wrestling career. And it was instilled in me in day one. It's always about the respect for the promoter, the booker, and then for the talent. Talent is secondary, You have to thank these guys humbly. And, we were also taught, people that sell concession stands to go up to them and thank them for what their work is doing, the unsung heroes that bring it all together, So that's traditional old school. And I'll tell you, there's not that many guys from our class that's still around, but you're one of them and you're still out there working. And a lot of respect for you. And I'll tell you, man, wow, it's just it's emotional for me because of what you've done. And to see you develop from literally a teenager into a young man now, it's humbling. It really is, my man.
Well, I'm going to tell you, Tony, when I first met you, it's like I told Chaz, man, to me you were like bigger than life, because at that time when Bobby Bold Eagle was training, I think he was in the same class as Brian Donahue, who used to play for the New York Jets. Yeah, he used to play for the New York Jets.
Yep.
And I believe he right now is a big-time Hollywood actor. But nonetheless, I remember Bobby Bold Eagle used to line up everybody outside the ring. And I think you remember this.
Yes.
He lined up off the top rope. Even you were being tossed off the top rope. And I was like, this big son of a mother, what the? And you did it. You pulled through. I never forget that in a million years. I can never forget that. And he did that. He would run drills till we freaking lost our lungs.
Almost till we threw up.
Through hell, he put everybody through.
Yep. Yeah, exactly. But that was his work ethic. Much respect to Bobby. And we reconnected recently also.
Oh, did you?
Can never think. Oh, yeah, recently we reconnected, probably about 3-4 months ago. And, great after all these years to be able to track him down and really reconnect about old school. Yeah, absolutely. And
I almost forgot one name. Oh, my gosh. Oh, sorry to cut you off, Tony. I almost forgot one name.
No.
If Chad is hearing me, because they had actually who helped propel me, I got to give much credit to Iron Man, the original Iron Man, Tommy Cairo. I can't forget Tommy Cairo. He's my big brother in pro wrestling. He'll tell you in a minute because he always calls me his little brother. And if it wasn't for Tommy, I probably wouldn't be alive today. And a very quick story. I was on my way to wrestle for a guy by the name of Falcon Koperis. I don't know if any of you guys ever heard of him. Yeah, and anywho, it was at the Queen's Elks Lodge. And we and Tommy, we just came out of a grub on and whatnot. And a car literally was going like 50, 60 miles an hour within a millisecond. And I hand to the almighty God, Tommy can attest to this, within a millisecond, he pulled me out. If he wouldn't have done that and saw that car, I would have been minced me. I would have been there. I would not be talking to you now. And also because of the fact that also humbled me because it was almost like the almighty creator wants me here to be in the square circle. That's how I took it. And later on in the years, when Tommy came out with Force One Pro Wrestling, he immediately booked me. I was with that company for a few years, and Tommy treated me like a king. So much credit, much props to Tommy Cairo, and I'm pretty sure all you guys know who he is.
Yep.
Oh, absolutely. Gentlemen, Tony, Panther, would you guys do us the honor of staying on as we interview our next guest?
But you're not going to get rid of me tonight, Saz. I'll be here, man, all night.
Sounds like a plan, brother. Well, without Panther, thank you so much. Please stay on the line with us because you're going to want to hear this next interview. This gentleman is probably one of the greatest workhorses that you're ever going to see in the squared circle. He is one half of the Slambinos. He might say he's the better half of the Slambinos. I'm referring to none other than AJ Janazzo. AJ, how are you tonight?
What's up? Hey, you got that right. I am the better half, so I look better. I'm better looking.
I mean, you know, I didn't want to leave it all out there for you. Give you some to handle.
It's okay.
But AJ, welcome. Welcome to the show. And again, for the sake of our first-time listeners or for people that are not very familiar with AJ Janazzo, you want to give us a little background as to how you got started and the same kind of line of questioning that we gave Panther?
Yeah, sure. In 1998-99, somewhere in between that year, I graduated high school, and somebody said, hey, you're a huge wrestling fan. You want to try to go to wrestling school? And I said, yeah, sure. Took me down. It was in Miami, Florida, to Rusty Brooks. I went there and trained with Rusty Brooks, and Norm Smiley was there from time to time, Dave Heath, and that's where I trained down in Miami, Florida.
Whoa, Dave Heath Gangrel?
Yep.
Wow.
Nice. Very nice. AJ, you've been well-traveled as well. You know, what are some of your favorite places to have wrestled in terms of cities or different states that you've worked over the course of your career?
I love the Carolinas. I love wrestling in the Carolinas. I've done a lot of work in the Carolinas. It's just the heritage and the history of wrestling in that, you know, North and South Carolina. Love wrestling there. People still believe it's, you know, they believe everything, and it makes it so much better. I've loved wrestling on the West Coast, Portland, Oregon. What a great place to wrestle. Fans they love it. So those are probably my favorite places.
Quick, Nano. Can I get the key?
Very nice. Very nice. So educate me a little bit, AJ. How did you first get involved with the Slambinos? How did you first get involved with that tag team?
I've known Francisco Ciasso for close to 20 years. Down in Florida. We Raven Warriors, which was run by Howard Brody, they started doing this TV. They were going to do some TV in Las Vegas, and And it was his idea. He said, I got an idea, and I want to have an Italian group, and I want you part of it with Frankie. And what do you think? And I said, hell yeah, I'll do it. I love it. Love the idea. So that's how it came about. And there's a couple different variations. We've had some different people with us through the time, but it was always me and Frankie were always the two most stable in the group. So.
Well, that's awesome. AJ, I think
Chad,
I got a little bit of a special guest for you here. Dr. John, we got somebody calling in?
Area code 407 that's coming on here.
Oh, here we go.
All right.
Jeez, Eddie, John!
No,
Frankie!
This wasn't in the contract. This wasn't in the contract.
Oh, gene face!
Magic.
AJ,
go.
Come on. You think for one second that your brother wasn't going to call in?
I was hoping he was sleeping by now. He's kind of old, so.
Wow, that's awesome.
I got old. My balls are old. How about I shoot my balls in your face, in your sister's ass? How about that?
No. Let's go.
That's a
story. Family show here, friend Jace. Frankie, how you doing tonight, bro?
Good. I'm sitting in my brand new motorized leather recliner that Stormy Lee bought for me. I've been in this thing for 2 days. It's great for my back. It's like an inversion table. I got my green tea sitting here. I got my cream of wheat. I'm ready to go. I'm watching 60 Days In. I got everything I need. I got all my collectibles, all my dogs, my cats. This is great. We got NAWA coming up 5 days before Christmas. What a present. What a present that I am for Anthony Genazzo. A big bow around my ass tagging with him on the 19th.
Yo, no, he didn't. That's a
story. Wait a second.
I feel like I'm back in Brooklyn talking to my Italian homies.
Stormy told me that she bought you one of those motorized chairs so you can go around the stores and in the supermarket.
It's the I give up. I got one.
People
it's the
power.
I give up. I got the Godfather music.
Wouldn't doubt
it.
Oh, Jesus.
I yell at everybody. Get out of the way.
Well, since we got both of the Slambinos on, let's open it up to the panel. Dr. John, this is a rare occasion that you'll get both members of the Slambinos on at the same time. Any questions you want to ask the gentleman?
Yes, I got my standard question for tonight is, guys, what was the match that propelled you to where you are now? There's always one. There really is. But when I was an announcer for the PWF, there was one match that kind of made me, and it was in a bingo parlor in Akron. I mean, I can't say any more than that. But so what was the match that propelled you and got you to this great level?
Wow, that's actually a hard question. Anthony?
Well, honestly, it is a hard question because I can't remember happening. So definitely a hard question. I do remember a time I wrestled this guy. It was in Savannah, Georgia. He was so bad. I had to lead this guy through this match. He was the shit. And I knew that day, I said, if I don't start tagging with him, he's never going to go anywhere. That was Frankie. So.
Damn. That's been greener than olive.
I remember that match like it was yesterday. It was friggin' horrible. I love it. It was when Anthony used to go by Tommy Vandal.
Right.
And what he used to go by.
Right.
Tommy Vandal and Frankie Capone.
Yeah. Horrible.
But honestly, was it Dr. J or Mr. J? I'm sorry. I'm bad with names. I get hit in the head a lot.
Dr. John.
But,
Dr. John,
same thing. Close. Dr. J, same thing. I'll be honest with you. We started tagging with Ring Warriors at the at the expense of the illustrious Howard Brody, and it was his brainchild, his idea, and I kind of laughed when he put us together because I never in a million years would have saw Tommy Vandal and Frankie Capone tagging as an actual unit and get along and be able to do this the right way. And honestly, it's been an evolution over time. So really, in my opinion, it hasn't been one match, but it's been the evolution of what we've done over the last, six, 7 years. I think right as I was coming on, I heard Anthony say there's been many incarnations of the Slambinos, but the main, the basis and foundation for what we've done has always been Genazzo and I. And I think that's been the consistency. That's really been what we gelled from day one as far as tagging-wise. I couldn't tell you why, but we did. We don't get along outside the ring very much, but we get along in the ring. And it's like a
you know, I say a match made in heaven or hell or Hell's Kitchen or something along those lines. But we do very well together. We gel very well together. You know, it's like it's like scungeal in a salad. It's like meatballs and spaghetti. It's like Sunday gravy. You know, with the bread when your mom smacks your hands, it's all that good stuff. But we've done really well because of
Harry. Frank, I'm gonna go on record as saying that as somebody that's been in your corner at least once, it's cheaper to clothe the two of you than to feed you. I should know.
Oh, absolutely, it absolutely is. That spread that you put out in Chicago was like a king spread. I mean, I've never seen anything like it. Anthony still talks about it. He only wants to go back to Chicago if we can go back to your house. That's all he said.
That's right.
I said it when I got on. I told him that. And you know what? Being on this podcast, I just broke out the salami. I got the cheese out here. I got the provolone. I got the mozzarella. It made me want to break it out while we're talking here.
We're talking about family dinner on Sunday.
Who are you? Vinny, you've been quiet. You have any questions for the Slambinos?
Yeah. I'd like to ask AJ, in your observation, what do you think maybe the biggest difference in the presentation of wrestling's been from the time you started until now? Maybe is there something lost, or maybe something that the style's adapted to?
Well, I mean, the style today is definitely not me and Frankie's style. I can tell you that.
Wait, are you eating right now?
What?
Are you eating? It sounds like you're eating.
I am eating. I wasn't kidding. I broke out the salami. I got it all out of the table here.
So I asked that question. When is AJ not eating?
Well, that's true. It's always about the food.
I don't know. Chaz with phone.
I mean, he's on the keto all the time. He's always eating.
Right. I'm rolling up deli meats and eating them over here.
So I'm sorry.
Don't worry, AJ. You might get a package in the mail. I'm sorry. Go ahead. Go back to the question. I'm sorry.
Well, the question was, what do you think maybe the biggest difference in the presentation of wrestling has been over the years? You know, because it's been 20 years, and it seems to adapt over the years. What do you think the biggest difference is from your observation?
Frank, you can answer that.
Oh, well, I mean, as far as honestly, over the last 20 years, I mean, there's a lot of style, no substance. You know, we always joke about, you know, there was a skit we did with the Slambinos with the leg slaps and the New Way, and it was a big rib and a big parody about how things have transcended over the last, you know, 20 years. I don't think it's necessarily been for the good or for the better. You know, the athletes are bigger, faster, stronger. That's definitely a plus. The athletes are healthier than they were years ago. So that part of it has definitely transcended in a good way from a product standpoint. I don't watch the current product. That's not being bitter indie guy. That's not being bitter at all. It's just I'm not a big fan of the current product. I'm not a big fan of guys not looking like wrestlers. I'm not a big fan of guys that don't look like they can fight. You know, I tell my students all the time at a training center, you know, I'd love to be able to take you guys to a bar, get you guys into a bar fight, so you know what it's like to get punched in the face for real. I think realism is a lot of what's missing in our industry now and in our business, the believability factor and the ability to suspend that belief. I believe that we do that very well, you know, which is why we're a very niche, you know, a very niche product with the Slambinos, a very niche brand. And he said it earlier, you know, I don't believe that the style that's transcended into now is anything close to our style. That doesn't mean that we don't fit somewhere, you know, in that puzzle. But the majority, you know, we're no longer the majority. We're actually, you know, not the norm anymore. You know, we're the anomaly, which, you know, I'm not really a big fan of that. But, you know, you kind of take what you get and you evolve over time and try to do your best to navigate the waters.
Yeah,
I think we're, you know, a little bit more old school, being around for 20 years. And I think sometimes, you know, we can be on a show with some of these guys who are flipping, flopping and doing all this other stuff. And then we come in and it's, you know, were a little bit different style. It's almost a breath of fresh air to fans and
yes.
to even some of the workers. And I think especially the fans, because we interact with them. We're not there to,
yes.
to run 75 moves. We're there to interact with people, and I think it's a breath of fresh air. So, I mean, I think it's a good thing.
I agree.
Yeah,
I'll tell you a quick story. I'll tell you a quick story. In Vegas, we worked a couple guys. I'm not going to mention names because it's kind of irrelevant. But, you know, the first 30 seconds of talking to these guys, they, you know, literally wanted to do every spot under the sun. And I remember I looked at Anthony and I said, I'm going to go sit over there in the corner. You take care of this and call me and let me know where I need to be. I look, and then the guy started saying something. I said, look, I don't know you. I don't leave my feet when I don't know you. I don't leave my feet, period. I don't go upside down. So, Anthony, I'm going to go sit down. And Anthony can verify that's exactly how that happened.
Yep, 100% exactly what happened.
You try to make it this big like mine. I don't want to be in the dark, babe.
Oh, that's
and Frankie,
awesome.
Real
put him
quick,
in the dark. Leave the light on. Put the light on for him.
I want to remind you, you did an interview with me about 2 years ago for Russellville.com, and it's been a while since we talked, but I've always appreciated you giving me that time for that. So,
well, thank you very much. I appreciate it, man. I always appreciate when someone appreciates the time that it takes for us to do those kind of things. And you know, I appreciate what you guys do and being able to come on here and run our traps and you know, drop our knowledge and give our advice and act like idiots. So thank you for that.
love
thank,
it. Steve
thank
Orban,
you
had a couple of questions for the Slambinos.
Yes, I wanted to ask, I wanted to get you guys to talk about the videos, the vignettes that y'all have done for the NAWA YouTube channel, and I wanted to ask if y'all still have, do y'all still work with or keep in contact with Glenn Gilberti, Disco Inferno?
Yeah, we do, but
that's it.
Yeah, I was going to say, we don't go over there for Sunday dinner or anything in Vegas, but, you know.
No.
Oh, man, I know.
Without
I got
messages
there.
In there.
But,
oh,
I wanted to get you all to talk about what you all think about the videos you guys do for the YouTube channel for NAWA?
Well, I think,
we have a lot
I think
of fun
the videos
doing
are hilarious. Yeah. They're hilarious.
they're really the brainchild of Anthony and JoJo. Anthony and JoJo are geniuses when it comes to the ideas for this stuff. You know, I am not creative in any way, shape, or form. I can say funny things on the drop of a hat, but as far as being creative and writing things, I've never been that guy. And him and JoJo are just absolute geniuses when it comes to ideas and that kind of thing. So Anthony would be able to touch on more of that than I could.
Yeah, I probably have 9 million more ideas of things we can do. It's just that's what I love about wrestling and about just, you know, I should have my own TV show. Actually, if me and Frank had a TV show, it would probably be a hit. But, they're funny. They're funny videos. You know, the whole thing of like, it's almost like a good cop, bad cop, but it's like I'm the dumb one and Frankie's the smart one. And it's if we play well off each other, and I'll tell you, we don't really rehearse anything. It just happens. Like, we just talk about it quick. What do you want to do? This, cool. Let's just do it. We can play off
improv.
Each other. We know what each other are going to say, and it just happens. So, I don't know. That's just how it is. We really don't practice or rehearse or anything.
Yeah,
of course, JoJo. You guys
try
him up for
a Well, I honestly don't think that we've done any more than maybe two takes of things, you know, over the last couple of years. Honestly, the videos started on accident. They kind of started because we were about to get fired from Ring Warriors, which is kind of funny because we showed up fat. Well, according to Howard Brody, we showed up fat. So I'm not really sure how that works with Howard Brody's fat. But nonetheless, apparently we showed up fat. I guess Anthony's belly fell out on TV. I don't really know. Nonetheless. We're doing these videos because we figured we were going to get fired, so we might as well go out with a bang. And I mean, I made fun of everybody. I was sitting in a bathtub making fun of – who was that Fanuc, the one that eats the bananas? What was his name?
Austin Aries. You were making fun of Austin Aries.
Austin Aries, yeah, the midget. So I was making fun of him sitting with eating a banana because he's a midget. And I was naked in the bathtub. And like this whole thing started on accident. It's not like we had this big grandiose idea.
Right.
We did this, and then it was funny. And then Dustin Rhodes put it over, and you had this guy and that guy put it over, and everyone talking about it. And I was like, well, holy shit, Carino and everybody else, I'm thinking, well, maybe there's something in this, because we're not very good in the ring, so my friend, we might as well do this.
Right. That's all we got.
And poor JoJo, you guys drove him up a wall.
Screw him, that fat prick.
Yeah, we do.
Dude, I love the part.
He also has the privilege of editing everything, so.
Yes, he does, and seeing us all day, every day.
Nice.
I love the phone call where Frankie is calling somebody. He's like, the other guy on the other end is like, who's this? Like, who's Kiatso? Like, send me a tape. I popped for that.
It's a story of my life. Story of my life. Stormy doesn't even know who I am.
I think I said that.
I get thrown out of the house every night.
Huh? Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome. Tony, anything you want to add with the Slam Beatles?
Nah, it's more of a comment both to AJ and to Frankie. I mean, yeah, I'm personally honored that they're going to be down in Florida at Daytona Beach. And these are guys that are old school and they know how to work and they know how to bring that new style flair to it. And I just can't wait to get them both down in Florida. And JoJo's going to be there with them also. So it's really humbling. And AJ, I was told that you like a lot of cannolis. So I got a special cannoli being made from Artuso's Bakery in New York. You know, an oversized cannoli just for you. Frankie,
you
like cannoli. So I got one being made first just for you, my man. You know,
right in his mouth.
I'll tell you one thing. Catering is very important to me because if not, if you serve us apples and bananas, you'll never hear the end of it.
I'll tell you one thing. I learned early on from Frankie. That's why we're having a nice Italian dinner before the show, not after the show. This way, you'll be full, but you'll be able to like want more after the show. So I'm gonna hold that little super sod above your head, like come and get it, my man.
There we go.
But no, on a serious note, guys, you guys have been phenomenal, and you know, special thanks to Frankie. He's been behind the scenes in Florida working with the NAWA, really making this happen as an agent first down there, and you know, all these guys have the vision of my dream to bring this back to reality. And, you know, they haven't worked with me before, but the history speaks for itself. And I'll tell you, the tapes that they're doing right now that are going to be continuing, they're going to be iconic. They're going to be iconic in NWA history, you know, like a lot of the old tapes from back in the days that's going to be debuted shortly. You know, but, you know, on a personal note, you know, I'm honored that both of you guys are willing to work with the NAWA and to come on board as we spoke about on an exclusive basis. And that's great. And I just can't wait for you to go down there and, you know, show your unique style, you know, good guy, bad guy, and just blend in the ring. And, you know, once that bell rings, it's no more fun and games. It's really down to traditional old school wrestling. And, you know, thank you guys. I really, really am humbled that you guys are coming on board. I really am.
Thank you. Hey, just one thing. Don't put us with those dirty blonde guys. They don't shower.
Oh, they stink. They smell.
Oh, he did.
Like chicken, they smell like chicken coops. They smell like chicken coops. I didn't even know chicken coops had like a smell, but they smell like chicken coops.
Chicken coops and beer.
Oh, disgusting.
Bird crap. That smells like bird crap.
Oh, my God. It's gross. That's
crazy.
And this
was going to break down.
Well, Frankie, unfortunately, you're going to be seeing the Dirty Blondes because I don't know if you've been following, but behind the scenes, and it was announced last week, it is going to be a fatal four-way. It's going to be four tag teams going on for the NWA heavyweight for the tag team championship. And, I'm honored to say you guys are going to be in the final four matches. You know, so let's see what you guys can bring to the table and maybe walk home with the gold, you know. So you never know. But
I have a question, though.
If you get over the smell of the Dirty Blondes, maybe you have a chance. Who knows?
Well, I do have a question because, I mean, it's not a secret that the Dirty Blondes kind of rolled around with Colonel Parker. Is there a metal detector? Because I don't know if he's got a rifle in his pants, but we got to make sure we have a metal detector at the Ocean Center.
As far as
I'm just
told, Colonel Parker's not going to be there, but you never know, man.
Okay.
You never know, but yeah,
okay.
I'll make sure we have the protectors there when you walk in.
Yeah. Okay.
Good.
Well, guys, thank you for having me. I'll let you guys get stay with Anthony because I know he likes to stay up late. I got to go to bed.
I got to go.
Goodbye. All right.
Good night, Frank.
Good night.
Thanks. Talk to you soon, Frankie. Be safe.
That wasn't an Irish goodbye.
Have a good one.
All right. Thanks to Frank Chiasso. Is he off now?
Yeah, now we can talk bad about him.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Now we can talk freely. Go ahead, AJ.
He's awful. You hear? Look at him. Awful. Awful
still
partner.
There? No, I can't talk bad about Frank. Frank's all right. Anyway, AJ,
yeah.
any last plugs you want to give to our listeners, things that you want them to know that you're working on, you know, within the next couple of weeks, coming months? We all know about December 19th at the Ocean Center with Jingle Brawl. Anything else that you want to let the people know that you're involved in?
I will tell you, I don't take wrestling bookings often anymore. So if you want to see me, you got to come to Daytona because there's no other place to see me, because I've turned down a ton in the last couple of weeks. So because it's got to be special. I'm not just going to go do anything. So that's the only place to see me. And now, you know, you could go on my social media and see everything else I do, because I don't just wrestle. So, you know, check me out on social media, Instagram and JJ Slambino. And if you got a TikTok, I'm a big TikTok star. I don't know if you know this, Chaz, but I'm a viral TikToker. So
nice.
Go check me out on TikTok, AJ Slambino, if you got TikTok. I'm not even kidding. I'm being totally serious. I have a TikTok, and I have some viral videos on there. So, taking off, pretty cool. So, that's what
that's
I got,
awesome.
Man.
Perfect. Well, and thank you again for joining us tonight. We really appreciate
guys.
It. We're honored that you're a part of the NAWA. We look forward to you and Frank at the Jingle Brawl wrestling event in Daytona on the 19th of December. Panther, anything
yes,
you
sir.
Want to let the people know about you in terms of what's going on? We know, as Tony has announced tonight, that you're also going to join us at Jingle Brawl. We're honored and pleased to have you with us in the NAWA. Anything else you want to let the people know where they can follow you, that sort of thing?
Well, they can follow me on Facebook, Panther Rodriguez. I'm open and friendly to all questions, any questions related to wrestling, politics, history. I'm a big history buff. That's just my thing. Most people, believe it or not, and not to get off the subject, but Abraham Lincoln was an actual pro wrestler and actually was a champion in his time.
Whoa!
In the state of Illinois.
Yes, he was.
And that's a true story.
Yes, he was.
And he was a shooter. Everybody thought they could get over on him because he was tall and lanky without realizing he could just tie you up and you're done. And he's got quite a record, kind of Goldberg-ish, if you will. I'm the kind of guy, I kid you not, I always tell people, aside from following me, also know that I'm a traditionalist too. I love the new stuff, but just watching something from, let's say, 1920 to 30s till now, you appreciate wrestling so much if you did.
Yeah.
Those right. guys went at it like Jackrabbit. That was just, wow. I'm talking about Ed the Strangler Lewis, Luthez rookie days.
Yep, Jim Longus.
Oh, good Lord, you brought it back.
Oh, yeah.
But,
I watch Luthez versus Ricky Dozan sometimes.
Oh, but no, that's kind of 50s. That's like in the 50s and 60s. I'm talking, if you literally go on YouTube and type in oldest pro wrestling match on film, you would literally see, I'm talking about crowds that in today's gate, you would rake in over six figures easy. I mean,
oh,
but
wow.
they were actually shooting with each other. It was amazing. But as far as following me goes, Facebook is mostly where I'm at. I don't do social media as much as I should, but I'm mostly on Facebook, and I'm open to anyone, you know, whatever, respectfully, and always, you know, if you're going to talk about pro wrestling, learn the history first. Don't just assume WWE is pro wrestling.
Yeah.
When there are, like, so
right.
many companies out there. Don't let Vince McMahon wash your mind to where he's the only one that should be watched, which I can't knock him for that, for the record. I think he's a genius. I'll go on record as saying that
exactly.
he's a freaking genius.
Yeah.
But nonetheless, WWE is not the only company out there, and don't segregate wrestling. Go to the indies, because you never know who you see come up on the big screen. You know what I mean? And support the indies big time. Because actually, that's the grassroots of wrestling.
Absolutely.
Yeah, man. It's the grassroots of wrestling. People don't realize that. Well, where do you think all these companies were from? They were basically all indies that just
gained a major following.
Most
which
definitely.
Is really all it was.
Thank you.
But you guys
appreciate
are awesome.
It,
I'm honored. I'm honored. I'm truly honored. And I'm sorry I'm rambling, but I just had to get that
fine.
Off my chest.
Oh, you're doing great,
that's awesome.
Man.
Appreciate it. Look
Brother
forward to
that,
seeing
you guys
down in Florida.
Amazing. Oh, you know, I'll be there with, man, you don't know. Yes, sir. I'm ready.
I got you. Tony Capone, anything you want to lay on the people before we go?
What do you think, Chaz? You think I'm going to close
know,
the broadcast
that's what
and
I'm saying,
give a couple shout-outs?
You know,
and they get bigger and bigger every
Godfather.
Week. Can't wait to see you, Tony.
No, likewise, man. I appreciate it. But no, seriously, you know, Daytona Beach, Ocean Center, December 19th, Jingle Ball, On Fight TV. You can get your tickets now, pre-sale, On Fight for $9.99. Tickets are on sale at the box office. They're going great as of today, and it's just going to keep going. Also, just a reminder, January 7th, Thursday Night Fight is going to be debuting a weekly show starting 8 o'clock at night on the Fight Network. And I'm proud of our association and a little bit different than everybody else out there. And you'll have to see it, and it will be debuted starting with Jingle Brawl, you know. And just in closing, yeah, you can get me over through social media, NAWA Wrestling, through Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, and then Tony Capone, NAWA, if you want to reach me directly. And in closing, I just want to say a special shout-out to the people down in North Carolina. I'm staying right outside of Raleigh-Durham right now in Clayton, North Carolina. Great, great farmland. And the people down here have been so helpful in really taking me around to different arenas that we've been booking the past weekend. And, and I'll just have a couple announcements coming out in the next week or so about our association with North Carolina now. So I'm really excited about that. And, AJ, that's an area that I heard you like. And, we're going to make it happen in the NAWA in North Carolina very shortly. Yeah, early 2021.
Awesome.
Amen.
Thank you, Tony. Appreciate that. Look forward to Daytona Beach. I look forward to debuting the Moretti Agency. I'm not going to reveal as to who I'm actually representing as of yet. I want to leave that as a little more of a surprise, but Daytona Beach on the 19th of December is going to be on fire with the NAWA. No two ways about it. Vinny, any final thoughts you want to give us in terms of what you've heard tonight or what you have coming up with your upcoming book?
Well,
John, Steve's got a couple questions for you already.
Oh, is that right?
You want to take a couple questions?
Sure.
Oh, perfect.
I wanted to know, what kind of, I guess living in the area, was that, what was the reason for, writing this book with about Lance and the Von Erichs?
I've always kind of wondered, what that was all about, why they brought him in. Every time I would see him or someone would say something about him, I'd always, it just would be a head scratcher for me. There was a lot of question marks on there. I thought it was one of the best untold stories, because here was this guy that came in, and then Fritz, a year and a half later, Fritz broke kayfabe on television. It was just, it was a time that nobody did that. And so I wanted to know what the story was behind it.
That is interesting. I'll have to check that out after. And, I think the Dark Side of the Ring episode did not give enough time on Lance. It was very dismissive. So I'm kind of glad you're writing this book, to be honest.
Well, I think it's one of the best untold stories in wrestling. And, if you go to anything Von Erich related, a Facebook group page, the Sportatorium page or whatever, I mean, they just want to squeeze Lance out of the legacy, right? It's like everyone's like, well, he's not
exactly
a Von Erich, and, we don't have time to talk about him. Lance was at that world class what a time for him to be there and the stories that he shares. A lot of people think that this is a book about Lance Von Erich, and I'm not going to say it's not, but there's a chapter in there on Ric Flair. There's a chapter on Gino Hernandez, Kerry Von Erich, Mike Von Erich, Chris Adams. You know, there's a story in there on Chris Adams that when they went to Israel, he got so upset because he couldn't get a phone call through to his wife, and he went down to the lobby of the hotel, and he got so mad with the guy, the bartender that couldn't help him, he super kicked him and injured him severely. And they had to sneak him out of the country. Well, that story's in the book, you know.
Man.
So, you know, there's things like that people may not expect. You know, we're talking about 1982 to 1987. You know, a lot of stuff happened in world class at that time. You know, David Von Erich died in 1984. You know, Mike Von Erich committed suicide in 87. Gino Hernandez overdosed in 86. You know, Kerry had his motorcycle accident. You know, and so there's all this stuff that came into play, and Lance was there. And, you know, Lance was not a legitimate Von Erich brother, but there was a period he was the only Von Erich wrestling. You know, they needed you know, they needed Von Erich's, the Von Erich name, because that thing was a machine, and that's why they brought Lance in. So I think a lot of people are going to learn a lot, you know, not only about the story of Lance, but wrestling in general and how it operated back then.
Yeah, I love the
get a copy of your book.
Say that one more time. Where can you get a copy?
I said, where can people go to get a copy of your book when it comes out?
What's the name of it?
Yes, go to the book is called Lance Von Erich, or Lance by Chance, Wrestling as a Von Erich, and you can go to lancebychance.com. And you can actually go now and pre-order, and there is free shipping until midnight November 15th. So you got one more week for free shipping. We're doing pre-orders right now. The book is going to be shipped out next week. And, yeah, I'm really excited about it. It's my first book, and it took me about 3 years to write it. And me and Lance worked on it together. And, you know, he's I was really surprised that he worked on it because he is so far removed from the wrestling business. He really questioned why I wanted to do this project, and I think he said yes because he knew how bad I wanted to write the story. So it's a good read, and I'm saying that because I've had people who were non-wrestling fans and people who told me they didn't like wrestling, but they would read it for me, you know, to give me some feedback and help me clean it up. And they said they couldn't put it down. So I think people,
awesome.
Again, are going to be really surprised about what's in the book.
Well, that's awesome. I look forward to picking up a copy. Tony, before I get our next panelist's closing thoughts, you mentioned something earlier that it was somebody's birthday yesterday. Whose birthday was it?
It was my main man, my main super fan, Malcolm Waldman, 57 years old yesterday. And I had the pleasure of giving Malcolm a call from North Carolina, and, you know, touched my heart as much as I think I did his. You know, so, you know, again, happy birthday, Malcolm, and many, many, many more, my man.
Thank you, Tony.
Happy birthday,
Malcolm.
I can't
wait to meet you December 19th. AJ,
well,
Panther, I, you know what? It's nothing sending in the mail for an autograph or anything like that. When you're there with a wrestler and you get a picture with him, get an autograph from him, that's what's real, man, watching him in the ring. That's what it's all about for me.
Chaz, if I may, before we go, can Malcolm give a shout-out to myself, AJ, and Panther? I'd love to hear a Macho Man or a Savage or Hulk Hogan.
Without a doubt.
Okay.
Malcolm, the floor is yours.
AJ,
Panther, and Tony, you're up, brother.
Hey, how about a Steve Austin? Would you like a Steve Austin?
Whatever pleases you, pleases me, Ryan.
Okay.
Whatever makes you happy, please.
Well, Tony Capone and AJ of the Slammos and the Panther Man on December 19th at Daytona Beach are going to rock the house up before the NAWA and that's the bottom.
My week is complete.
None, right? There's none better. None
That's
better.
Right. What a way to end out the show. What a way to finish the show.
And with that being said, Dr. John, as we always say in the business, it's time to go home. Take us home.
It sure is. All right. First of all, does anybody have anything they want to plug for this week? Steve, you got anything that you want to plug?
Just Twitter and Twitch is Stellar Steven. You can find me on there. Thanks for having me on. I definitely enjoyed tonight's episode.
We're always glad to have you. Malcolm, what you got going on?
Anything I just want to say I wish November was non-existent because I can't wait for this pay-per-view and meet all these wrestlers. This is going to be a dream come true night for me, man. I'm just going to tear it up that night. And I don't want a seat because I want to stand in the back and yell all night long like you do at Big Time Wrestling. I can go all night long, baby. So.
That's awesome, Malcolm. That is awesome.
Well, that sounds great. And Vinny, you got anything else you want to, because I think you're the last one before we close it down.
I just want to remind people the name of the book is Lance by Chance, Wrestling as a Von Erich, and you can go to www.lancebychance.com and order the book. And there's signed copies and regular copies are available. But, yes, you can get an autographed copy by Lance himself.
That's awesome.
That is absolutely great. And finally, the man himself. Tony Capone, the Godfather, what message do you have for us as we close tonight's broadcast down?
Well, I'm looking forward to next week, but just like I said, you know, Jingle Ball, December 19th, Ocean Center, Daytona Beach, Florida, $9.99 on Fight, and, you know, tickets are on sale at the box office, and I just can't wait to bring this phenomenal, you know, mega event to Daytona and to highlight all the talent the NWA has and to bring that old school style wrestling with a new flair to it and, you know, making it happen all over the U.S. and internationally as we speak. So, yeah, with that, Dr. John and everyone on board, Steve, Chaz, Vinny, who I just got to meet tonight for the first time, and, you know, my superstars, you know, Panther and AJ, and can't forget about Frankie either, you know, but I'm humbled. I really am. And for these guys to take my vision and make it their dream also, it is very humbling. So with that, thank you, everyone, and I'll see you guys next week, definitely with some more breaking news information as things take place. And hopefully I'll be back in New York by next weekend and be able to talk to you from
Tony?
New York. But right now, signing off from North Carolina. Yes,
Tony?
My man.
Hey,
yes,
I
sir.
Wanted to tell you, David Arquette called me. Now, I don't know if he'll wrestle, but I'm trying to get him down there to hang out with me, you know, to get you some publicity if he'll do it. I'm working on it for
yeah,
you.
Yeah, actually, I left David, you know, on a side note, I left David a message about a week or so ago, and, yeah, we're in the process of speaking about doing something.
Oh, he's going to be there? Yeah,
yeah,
that'd be great.
Well,
we're not
always
mega powers. He's the madness. I'm the mania.
Yes, he is.
All right.
It's awesome.
Great, Terry. We look forward to all that, Chaz. What have you got coming up for this next week, and we're headed home after you?
Well, we're just headed on the road to Jingle Brawl, December 19th, Ocean Center, Daytona Beach, Florida. Tickets on sale at Ticketmaster to see all of us live or available through pay-per-view on Fight TV. And as Tony said earlier, for the month of November, it's a $9.99 pre-sale. I mean, the kind of action, the kind of event that is going to be presented by the NAWA is going to be something that is not to be missed. So if you can't make it down to Daytona and see it live, pick it up on Fight TV. You will not be disappointed.
Best $10 spent guaranteed. Guaranteed or your money back. Guaranteed.
All right.
Wow, thank they heard it from the Godfather. It's a guarantee.
And thank you to everybody that was on the show tonight. We appreciate you. And this is Dr. John signing off for tonight. We'll see you next week, 10 p.m. Eastern Time on Sunday night. The only place you should be is WrestlingTonight.com. We'll see you next week, everybody. Good night.
Take care.
Good night, guys. Take care.
Yep.